Good morning. You kids ready? You know we love to ask questions for the first time. Are we going to be ready for this? If you turn around and pretend like I'm not there, I'm calling you first, you know. Like if you look away like, oh, I'm not going to pay any attention. You're the first one. So, how long ago do you think when I made my first communion? How long ago do you think that was? Watch what you say. How long? 70 years? Did your dad sell you to say that? 42 years. Pretty close. I was 7 years old and I'm 51 now. So what does that make it? 44, right? Ooh. And again, as we sat there and I was going up, I was so afraid, and the nuns told us to keep our hands like this. I told you last year. And you remember why I said you have to keep your hands like this? Why sister told us why? Because the devil might get in between your fingers. So my whole time at First Communion, I'm like this, saying, no devil's going to get in my fingers, let me tell you right now. And I had my hands real tight, and I didn't care what anybody else was doing, but this is the way I was going to do, because no devil was going to get into my fingers, huh? So I missed my first Holy Communion because I was more concerned about the devil getting inside my fingers, huh? But you guys aren't like that, are you? You don't have to worry. The devil's not going to get in your fingers there. Don't worry about it. You can let go. But the reality is, but that's what I was. I was so filled with this stuff. And see, Thomas today, when we listen to the gospel, was so filled with other things. He said, I don't believe he rose from the grave. Okay, come on. And then Peter, after they all believe in it, and then all of a sudden, y'all remember the gospel today, right? That's what I read. What happened with Thomas? Does anybody remember? Remember Thomas? Thomas? He didn't believe Jesus was alive, did he? Say no. So what did he do to get Jesus after Jesus appeared to him? And what did he do to come to know Jesus was alive? You don't know, huh? We'll go over here. One of the girls. Girls always know more than boys. When we know it all our lives, trust me. So, do you know what Thomas did? Do you know what Thomas did? He touched Jesus. Very good. How did he touch Jesus? What did he put his hand? Here and here and here. So again, and then after he touched Jesus, what did Thomas proclaim? Do you remember? Remember what Thomas proclaimed? No. Do. You remember what Thomas proclaimed after he put his hand in his finger and Thomas cried out, my Lord and my God, huh? Now, see, the same thing gets to happen to you today. The same Jesus Christ who's a resurrected now, the same Jesus Christ who we have up here, the same Jesus Christ who's truly present there, the same Jesus Christ is going to give you his body blood, and you're going to be able to touch him just like St. Thomas touched him. Isn't that exciting? See, some people don't get it. You know, they go, oh, I can stay at home and pray to God at home. Oh, yes, you can, you pagan. But you can't receive him. You can't touch him. You can't receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity into your heart, into your mind, into your body, into your soul. And Jesus gives all of us a promise today, right? He says, if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, what's going to happen? And you all, come on. First Communion people, if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, what's going to happen? You will live forever. You will live forever, right? Now get this. Let's say you stopped eating. Let's just pretend you decide to stop eating today. What's going to happen? And you don't eat for a whole year. You're going to die. You got that right. You're going to be dead. What happens if you stop eating the bread of life? You're gonna die. So you never want to stop eating the bread of life, right? How often you want to receive Jesus? If it was possible, how often would you receive Jesus? Every day. But if you can't receive Jesus every day, and most of you cannot, how often must you receive Jesus? Every Sunday. Huh? And see, today when we come and we proclaim, so that's why every time you ever sit there and when you ever watch when I say Mass, you sit there and you come here and you watch me say Mass every week. And as I say Mass, when we're doing consecration, you know, we take the bread and then I say the words over the bread. And as soon as I say the words over the bread, what does the bread become? Jesus, right? And then after I sit there and say, this is my body given up for you, I hold Jesus up in my hands, huh? Here's the God that the universe cannot contain. I hold up God in all my hands as I'm holding up Almighty God in my hands. And you ever wonder what I say? I always say something. As I'm there, you'll sit there and you'll see my lips move. You know what I say? I say, my Lord and my God. Increase my love for you and your people. I make that same act of faith that Thomas did. Now that's something you can do. Everybody here, whenever you see Jesus and he's held up, or when you receive him in the Eucharist, or you go next door and you go visit Jesus in the perpetual adoration, or every time you come in this church and you genuflect, you make that same profession. You look at Jesus and you make that profession of faith and you cry out, my Lord and my God. What do you cry out? My Lord and my God. What do you cry out? My Lord and my God. When you cry that out, you make that an act of faith, huh? And so that's why it's so important that when you and I come before God, this isn't just some symbol. We don't just get some, you know, like people call it cookie worship. Oh, I go to church and get my cookie. Those people are what we call stupid. We don't give out cookies today. What do we give out today? Jesus Christ, his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity, all that is God, Jesus Christ will give himself for you today. And because of this day, you got to remember, this day is a special day because it's the day we celebrate divine mercy. Divine mercy is what's happening up here, right? There's Jesus, and you look at his heart, and where he was pierced with the sword, there's red and there's white that comes forth from his heart. Does anybody know what the red means? It's blood, yeah, but what does it symbolize? The body of Christ. And the water flows out and symbolizes what? That you all got when you were babies. Baptism. So what Christ does, and then what he does is he puts mercy on us. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a big one that needs mercy, huh? So every day next to my bed, there's a picture there of divine mercy, and I cry out for mercy every day, every day. You know, yesterday I was in Lafayette, Louisiana. And as I was there, I was speaking to 1,000 men. Great, great, great men. All these priests are all younger than me. They all were Catholics. They made me look like a liberal. Can you imagine? It was unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. I've never seen it. Very holy men, very good men. The men in that were very good. And I heard confessions. I started hearing confessions yesterday morning. I gave a talk at 8 o'clock. It was a 10-minute talk at 8:15. And then we started hearing confessions all day until I gave my final talk and I got in the plane and I came home. And a lot of people, for the first time in many years, finally received mercy. See, they always thought Jesus was going to get them or punish them or hate them. You never have to be afraid of Jesus. Jesus will always give you his mercy. No matter what you've done, when you come to Jesus and you tell him you're sorry, he takes his blood, his water, he washes you clean, and he feeds you with eternal life. Huh? And to have that yearning for him. You know, last night I didn't get into Pittsburgh. I picked up my dogs at 11 o'clock. I was very tired. And I sat there and I fell asleep twice while I was driving, which was not a very good thing. And then I got home at 2:30 in the morning, but I had not yet said Mass. So I came here last night at 2:30 in the morning on the back altar. I had such a yearning for Jesus that I said Mass at 2:30 just so I could be with him. And here Jesus was, and he waited for me, and he gave me his body and blood in the middle of the night to give me comfort, to give me peace, to give me forgiveness. Jesus is always willing and wanting to do the same for you. You never have to be afraid of him. He always wants you to come. And finally, what's the last thing we're going to do today after communion? What? After you receive communion, then what's going to happen? You're going to go where? Your mom's giving you all the answers. Tell her to, shh, shh, mom, shh, shh, mom. Now, there you go. You're going to do what? Miss Wilson, am I boring you? No, you just look that way all the time. What's going to happen after communion? Do you know? Do you have any idea? None? Crown Mary. Yeah, is that good, Leah? Oh, we're going to crown Mary. Yes, we're going to crown Mary. Why are we going to crown Mary? Do we just like to worship statues? No, do we worship a statue when we crown Mary today? No, we honor our Blessed Mother, huh? And we bring this little one down because it's too hard to bring the big one down is what it comes down to. So we'll honor and we'll do this. Now this statue means nothing in itself, right? It's just a statue. It's made out of plaster. But the statue represents who? Mary. And it's so good that the day you first receive your first communion will be the day you sit there and you can go and honor Our Lady. Because anyone who loves Jesus loves who Jesus loved, right? And did Jesus love His mother? And so do we. That's why we crown her. So I encourage you to do a couple things. When I was in second grade, you guys are in third grade now, right? Yeah. When I was in second grade, that's when we got our first communion. But I had a May altar in my bedroom, which means I had a statue of the Blessed Mother. And every day, because there's flowers all over, you know, now, I'd go out, my mother didn't like me for a while, but I'd take a flower out of the garden and I would go and I'd put it in front of the image of Our Lady and ask her to pray for me. So I'd encourage you, this would be a great thing, not just for you kids, but for everybody, to have a May altar. The day where Christ gives us Himself, He just doesn't give us Himself in the Eucharist. He gives us His mother. We don't have to be alone. We have a mother that prays for us. You never have to be alone all the days of your life. Jesus loves you. He feeds you with His body and blood. And He gives you His mother. Is there anything else we need? The answer is no. May you know His love today and forever. Amen.